Van son mis amigos. Let's take a seat. So today the Feast of St. Raphael, the Archangel. And I want to speak about this story of a great saint. People have been asking me for many years to speak about this great saint. Of course, we are canonized by the Novo Soto Church, but still we keep in mind that his body is incorrupt, so this is why we can speak that God canonized him, and we're still waiting for the Church to confirm that. But so I have promised to speak about this topic, which is this saint, Rafael Guisa de Valencia. So, first to understand his great holiness, we have to follow up his own parents. Both of his parents are holy, and this is just to remind our people that when the father and the mother, they fulfill their duties towards God and towards the neighbor, and they get great children. So the parents has a great influence in the children always, for good or for bad. No? So the father of this great saint, his name was Prudencio. He was chosen by the people and the sheriff itself to defend the town against the robbers and delinquents. Even he didn't have any title. He was so courageous and zealous that he will be called for big problems to chase away and to trap delinquents. No? And also now the mother, she has so great faith, especially in Saint Joseph, that when was born maybe the number 5 or 6, she was born with a leg shortened, but the other was shorter. So she grabbed the baby, she knelt in front of Saint Joseph, and she said with great faith, "Saint Joseph, I will not move from this place until you heal my baby." He was praying for 3 hours. She was praying for 3 hours, more or less. And after she saw the baby leg and was healed already. No? So, and the mother of Saint Raphael was incorrupt. Her body was found incorrupt. And she died when she was 30. She summoned her children around the table and they said, "My children, I will be gone for the Feast of Saint Joseph. I will die that day." Saint Joseph just came to tell me, "So I want to arrange the home to put in charge of different duties to the house. You will do this, you will do that. Mom, but you always have been healthy. You are 30 only." "Yes, I know I am very, very healthy, but I will go. I will be gone. It's only 2 weeks from now." So Joseph says, "So I will be." Sure enough, she died suddenly, that day, St. Joseph's day. And there was a lady who will help out the sick people, especially the lepers. She will go herself with her own hands where the leprosy were located and to help out. And she had a lineup of people every morning at her house, lining up to ask for food. At least my relative said that at least 20 people every day were at the door asking for something. So it's good to speak about the parents because the children follow the parents. So Rafael, he entered a minor seminary when he was 11 years old. The first event which turned his life into something very miraculous was that he was with his classmates in a boat on a pond, and the boys started jumping on the boat, and the boat turned over, and he sank to the bottom of the lake because he didn't know how to swim. he said, it's over. But she just prayed to Our Lady. And he said that Our Lady herself came and grabbed him from the bottom of the lake, from the hand, and pulled him over out of the water and dropped him on the shore. They found him on the shore, unconscious. From that day on, he will be the most devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So much that when he became a priest, he will not start Mass at all if the image of the Blessed Mary was not on the altar. He said, I will not start. We don't have images. Sorry, I will wait half an hour or 1 hour, but you have to bring me an image of Our Lady. Otherwise, I will not start. Without Mary, I cannot do nothing. So he founded the Holy Congregation of the Holy Hope in Mexico, which was missionaries and schools at the same time, for men and for women separated. That was during the revolution years. But of course, the government didn't allow this congregation to grow, and the Masons managed to close the both convent monastery and the schools he created for children and for men. So then he received from the Pope, Sir Pius X, the privilege to become an apostolic missionary. He's the one who go everywhere, any moment, any time, to go to confession, to say Mass everywhere. He had a permission from the Pope. So he became missionary suddenly. He went to Colombia, to Guatemala, to Cuba, to the United States, Mexico, of course, for many years, doing that job, work, of missionary work. He was characterized because all the people to whom he preached were converted. It was the main miracle. To whoever he will preach, they will convert. And they ask, what is your secret? Because he went to the prison of Cuba, so the Archbishop of Cuba asked Rafael to preach a retreat of 5 days for the prisoners. The delinquents of Cuba, they were like 400. 1 week of a retreat. Because he thought that he was so famous for conversion, so the prisoners, the delinquents need conversion in the prison. So he asked Rafael, what do you need for the mission, 7 days mission? He said, okay, just bring me 20 priests the last 2 days of the mission. Okay, we will do that. So he was curious to know how he will manage. He will start his mission singing. The first day of the mission, he was singing to Our Lady, singing. Nobody of the prisoners were interested. So after singing 45 minutes, he said, okay, over, first day, over, see you tomorrow. He said, wow, strange missionary, okay. Day number two, he came, start singing again, half an hour, and after half an hour, prisoners started singing along with him, you know? And after 1 hour, everybody was singing. He said, okay, you are ready for tomorrow. Yes, okay, I think you are ready now to hear my word. Yes, you are singing with me, okay. Day number two, it's over, see you tomorrow. Ah, they say, hey, it's very nice retreat, very nice retreat, yes, mission. Unusual, we like it, just singing, okay. Day number three, he started singing again. After 15 minutes, he said, okay, you are ready, you are singing, I see fervor in you, in your faces, in this position. So we start with the catechism. So he will preach very firm, very logical and clear doctrine. Number four, singing and catechism. Number five, the same, singing and catechism. And he said, he preached about how to prepare for confession, number five. And number six, the 20 priests arrived. All the prisoners went to confession, the 400 prisoners, confession, all the day confessions. And Sunday Mass, the last day, everybody went to communion, all the prisoners. So they would ask him, what was his besides his technique, what was his secret for convert people? He said two, three, 4 weeks before the mission, I start calling convents of nuns and monasteries, asking for prayers. And after that, I know it's a success, will be a successful mission. It's all I do and nothing else. Because the Blessed Virgin Mary, her vocation on earth is in the convents, especially in the convents. So this is my secret. So there are many stories about him. I will tell you a few, not to make it too long. During the revolution in Mexico, he was on the battlefields helping out people, giving the last rites, speaking about God to them. So they grabbed him because he was a strange person in the battlefields, so they thought that he was a spy. So they trapped him, caught him, put him against the wall, 20 soldiers ready to shoot at him. And they said, okay, where's your last wish before you die? Okay, he said, my last wish, so he has a watch. He said, I want to rifle this watch among you. It's my last wish. Okay, how do you want to do it? Okay, let me think. Okay, and he grabbed the watch and he threw it on the woods as far as he could. The first to find it is his. So the captain started running after the watch, and the rest followed the run, and he escaped. He was able to escape. And seven times he was about to die, different ways like that, he escaped. That inspired him the way to do it. One of those events was the governor of Veracruz, Mason, he wanted to kill him. He put in the newspaper, first page, wanted, the bishop is wanted. Anyone who kills him will have a reward of $1,000,000 reward. So you can kill him anywhere, wherever you find him. So he received a newspaper in his office, the bishop, and he said to his driver, uh-oh, okay, don't worry, I know what I want to do. I am in peace. Bring me in this moment immediately to the office of the governor. I want to see him. And the driver said, His Excellency, they will kill you if you go to the office of the governor. I know why I'm going to just obey me. Bring me to the office immediately. So he was dropped off at the palace of the governor. He went directly to the office. He opened the door without permission, with the newspaper in the hands, and he dropped it on the desk. Okay, you want to kill me? I am here ready. Kill me now, I am ready. And he said, no, you don't say, no, you are too violent. No, I cannot do it, no. So I will write tomorrow newspaper forbidden anyone to kill you because you don't deserve to die. So he escaped like that several times. But the most important miracle that he did was also during the Cristeros. Wasn't the Cristeros war? He will encourage the general in chief, was his nephew, was the general in chief of the Cristeros army. And he will go to this bishop to ask for advice and strength. He was the only bishop that during the Cristeros war is the only one who kept the seminary open. He had 80 seminarians being moved every 2 weeks from one place to the next. He didn't want to be discovered, so he had to move the seminary around. And he said that the safest place that he found for his seminary was in front of the general quarters of the government, of the Mason soldiers, because they didn't suspect that he was just in front of them. He put on underground priests underground to assist the faithful. About 2,000 places in his diocese. So until they exiled him, because they found him, finally he was put on and exiled. But still, he has a motto. I want to be poorer than the poor. So whatever he has, he will give it. Whatever he received from the others. He was famous because one time printed a catechism, 1 million copies. Just like that, because he wanted to help and to be always helping people. And so just to tell you his strength as an example of his strength as his fervor, not his convictions. This is he was preaching a sermon, and during this sermon, and a scorpion bite him on the hand. And he didn't, and he decided to keep preaching. But during the sermon, was swelling up, became reddish. Everyone was looking at his face. He was really suffering and struggling. And after a few minutes, he dropped to the floor. He fainted. So they went to the sacristy, and his excellency, what happened to you? He said, well, this scorpion bite me. Why you didn't stop the sermon? No, he said, because the word of God is more important than my health. I have to keep preaching. I never thought about myself. No, I can't think about myself. So he became also a very famous exorcist. The most difficult exorcism he would perform. And even one time he went to assist a sick man at night in his horse. And when a black dog with red eyes prevented him to advance further. And suddenly the dog at night with the red eyes started speaking, saying, that soul is mine, you will not pass from this place. You will not pass further. So he made the sign of the cross upon the dog. So furiously the dog launched its servant towards the bishop and bite him the leg and disappeared. So he kept going and he confessed and gave his life right to this man. And after he saw his leg and was burned, third degree burned, and never healed in his life. He was always limping and watering before the burning. Nobody was able to heal his leg. And so basically, he died as he wanted, alone, poor, on the floor, nobody assisting him. But he had the Blessed Sacrament in his room. And they asked him, the seminarians who saw him before dying, His Excellency, why do you have the Blessed Sacrament there? And he answered, well, because I never deny him nothing in my life, so I am sure that he will not deny me to enter into heaven, straight to heaven. He said that. And he was found incorrupt, his body, 12 years after his death. He was exhumed, taken away, and to be transferred, and he was just swimming in a perfumed water, his whole body. But they noticed that he has one eye open and one eye closed. The seminarians who saw him said, hey, we know why that happened. What is the reason? Because before dying, he said, I will keep always an eye open upon you. Mm-hmm. So this is why Benedict XVI put him as a patron of the seminarians and the bishops of the world, patron, wow. And the poor also. So this is your barely the story. There are more stories about him. But I would say the most important is that he gave his life completely. He would sleep only 3 hours a day. He trusted the Blessed Virgin Mary always. And he was the most important figure, I would say, during the Cristeros, because he was the only bishop having opened the seminary. And the Mason saw that he was the only one who had the strength to face them with a fearless behavior. So they managed to exile him, finally. Also because his nephew, the general in chief, Jesus de Gollado Guizar, he was he was named general of 5 states, and after he became the general chief for the Cristeros. So they didn't want the bishop around. So he had to come back after the Cristeros War, from the exile. and to do his best. But he was so persecuted, he was calumniated. In such a way that when the Congress, the Eucharistic Congress happened in the 30s, he was not invited. He showed himself disguised, he presented himself to the Congress, but everybody noticed that he was the one who was the Bishop of Veracruz, and so started shouting the Bishop of Veracruz, and everybody was invited him to go over and the sanctuary, into the sanctuary, not to the Archbishop. So there are many good stories that we could tell, but maybe in another occasion. So we ask him for help also, and we invoke his patronage. The last thing that just to tell you, people have been praying to him for women who cannot have children, and they always get an answer when they pray for children to him, to Rafael Guízar. It's something that God has granted to him, that grace or that power in heaven. When a lady, she cannot be pregnant, really needs a miracle, is they pray to him and he grants that miracle. For reasons God knows. So we could live with the Mother and the Father, the same for the person.